literally 18% of your claims. And they just took it out. And a big part of the reason for that is what's driving our claims in the last little while are a couple of shock losses and things that should not recur. In other words, they're episodic, one-time things as opposed to a long, drawn-out illness. And so they don't anticipate that that would recur next year. So they're forgiving that, which is very good in what we're looking to do. But as you work through their offer, it comes up to a requested 8.5% renewal increase. Oh, one other thing that I did want to point out, you notice COVID adjustment. This is one of the line items. One of the things they're trying to do is basically say, all right, we know that there was a couple of months where people did not go in and seek care. They didn't go get knee replacements. They didn't even go in a lot of cases for urgent care or other things. So what would those claims have been had COVID not hit? Now, in Southwest Missouri, we didn't see as much of a shift as some parts of the rest of the country, but there is an adjustment that they're trying to make, and the carriers candidly are wrestling with this in this environment of what claims were missed that would have occurred had it not been for the pandemic. So that is new in a separate thing for this. But again, when you go back and they took $135 out, and that's $23, still seems like a pretty good deal. Moving on, and real quick,
help me understand the PEPM trended claims experience versus the manual claims assumption.
Yes.
Did you say that the 688 is what we actually have? The 799 is the assumption of what we would have?
799 is just age, gender, census, to say what would the average claims cost be for a group of people this age and this gender mix.
So why would they not base... So then they blended to come up with the 721.99? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't they just do the 688?
That is certainly one of the arguments we can make.
And the 2357? Mm-hmm. I wish in my private world I could... Just start tacking stuff on because, well, yeah, you probably would have come and bought this from me, so I'm going to go ahead and charge you for it now.
Right.
Did I understand you to say that all insurance companies are doing this?
Well, we're early enough in the gate. I can't tell you that I've seen each of them, but yes, all of them are trying. Some of them are just going back and not using claims past March. So they're just saying that, hey, we're going to just say this is not a valid claims period, so they're going to use old claims and then try to trend it up from there. I don't like that approach, but that there are, Anthem is trying to do that. United Healthcare, we haven't seen a renewal out of yet, so I'm not sure, but all of them talk on their quarterly earnings calls and various things like that about needing to adjust somehow for COVID, yes. They may not do it exactly like this, but yes, all of them are addressing it to say, next year, theoretically, and again, part of it is we don't know, at least, you know, the early part of the year, we may still have some lag in claims because we still don't have a vaccine, so, you know, people haven't gotten back to normal. But mostly what they're seeing now is Cox is running 90-95% of what they were pre-COVID because people are just forced to go in now. They've waited as long as they can, and they're back. And so it is conjecture, and it's an interesting year, obviously, as we go through it. But yes, all insurance carriers are addressing this in some fashion.
That doesn't make it right.
Fair enough. So moving on, here's the shock losses. And a couple of those, just some interesting points on this particular page. Again, if you go to the far left, there's an A or a T that's for active or terminated off of the plan. You have three terminated members two terminated members, one of which was pretty significant in claims. And then also, if you go to the far right of this report, it says last DOS, it stands for date of service. And so you have 7 out of the 17 people who are listed here with claims above 25,000 who were last treated in 2019. So that basically says those conditions have likely resolved and are no longer in place. And then you will see one member toward the middle of the report, which is a very large claimant, that again is what I was talking about, which is more of an acute episodic thing that they don't anticipate will continue. And therefore, most of that claims reduction that they gave you, the $134, is based on that member and that prognosis. But unfortunately, we have had, obviously, some claims that have popped up here in the last few months, and this report kind of reflects that. Cox has given you several pages of things on their pharmacy savings, which is significant. They do a very good job of trying to engage and address pharmacy costs, which is by far the leading escalator in healthcare costs these days. They have a program where they target people who are taking a high-priced medication to try to give them an opportunity to save money. Oftentimes they'll do it at no cost share, where the member literally doesn't have to pay anything out of pocket if they choose to move to the generic or you know, whatever the case may be, or even a different drug in the same class, as long as it works for the member. They were able to achieve $12,000 worth of savings. There was one member that they identified but were not able to contact or get a hold of, which would have saved $21,000. So we'll be talking, Mrs. Moeller and I, a little bit about trying to, as part of the open enrollment process, to ask people to engage, that when they get that phone call, that it is somebody trying to help, that it could save them money and whatever. Sometimes it's hard to get somebody to talk to the insurance company. And, you know, we get that. But in these cases, it's usually a win-win, where they'll make it very worthwhile for the members. So that is something that they're actively trying to address and to save money.
If they're calling them by phone, there's so much fraud. Are they making it plain that they're a legitimate call?
It's my understanding, yes, and that they would try multiple venues. In other words, they would send mail. They would, you know, if they have an email address, they would send that or whatever. Unfortunately, with HIPAA concerns, we can't just call up and say, "Hey, HR, can you talk to this person?" Because we can't, you know, identify someone as being taking a medication or being under treatment in any way. So they do their best, but all we can do is just encourage employees to respond and let them know, "Hey, this is legit," or call HR if you get a question, and if you know, and then let us verify that it's legit.
Do they get a notice from the insurance company, note that they paid this?
Yes. Then there are several more pages that talk about the number of members that have met their deductible on each plan. And then give an overlay. One of the things that again, we need to take a look at our ER utilization. And back to the plan design that I had pointed out to you when we first were looking, our ER utilization is pretty high relative to the average fare when you look at the Cox book of business. And ER costs a lot of money and is not a good spot for your employee to be in most cases. Obviously, there are times where you absolutely need to be in the ER. But any good ER physician will tell you that at least 70% of the people that they see in a given shift didn't need to be in the ER. And so a lot of it is just really trying to drive people to use the resources available today, which is the urgent care clinics, which have extended hours, which are the, you know, making an appointment with your doctor, or telehealth, which you can do right on your cell phone, which is by far the major the thing that's up and coming for people to be able to go. And usually the waits on that are 15 minutes or less compared to going to an ER where it's hours. And so certainly we would want to try to engage and address getting people to transition some of those ER visits to other less expensive and better for them encounters.
We've had a few employees. I suggested maybe you go to urgent care, and they said it doesn't do any good to go to urgent care. They don't do anything. I end up with ER anyway.
Sometimes I've heard that, particularly in the Branson hospital, where they'll go to urgent care and then they'll just send them to ER. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's a staffing issue or whether that's that they just don't feel like that, you know, whatever the person presented with. I mean, if you've got chest pains, they want you to go to the ER, right? Not urgent care. But if you have poison ivy, you really need to be at urgent care, or even a telehealth medicine visit for that would be great. 15 minutes, you've got a prescription, you can be on your way to the pharmacy. So, and other pieces, Rx generic utilization. I need to get a report from Cox on this to kind of get some more clarity, but our generic utilization is below the average and the benchmark. Whereas we had been running and for several years about average, we're kind of slipping over the last couple of years into a little less. And so some education around that. But sometimes there's just not generic available. So part of it is just drilling into the data to make sure that that there are other options available and not just that people are on prescriptions where they can't do anything else anymore. So I can report more on that. Like I said, I got this Friday. That we wanted to get over here so that we had plenty of time. And finally, the final page of the renewal just goes through. And it is always kind of interesting to me to look through the stratification of your people and the claims that they have. And what you'll notice is that in the prior year, 6% of people had no claims. We don't like that because that means they didn't even go in for their primary care visit, their checkup, which we really want them to do. 60% of your people had 1,000 or less in claims. So that literally means that 2/3 of everybody on the plan had $1,000 or less in medical bills. And that's really how insurance works, right? Because then you start working your way up the plan. 6 members had over $50,000 in medical bills. And unfortunately, those folks are the ones that spent a lot of money and that obviously were not feeling well. It's even more pronounced this year in that 71% of your people had 1,000 or less in medical claims.
What page is that?
Like that. Just past the generic drug utilization graph. The next page over. Plan summary at the top. But it just lines it out in people that spent 50,000 or more, people that had spent 10 to 50, 5 to 10, 1 to 5, under 1,000, and then 0. But this page can kind of help in plan design sometimes too, and trying to figure out what's the right level of benefits versus the spend for the county, as well as the cost for them to put dependents on the plan. Everybody would love to have an insurance plan that just paid everything, but nobody wants to pay the premium for that, right? So it's a balancing act of how much insurance do you buy versus how much risk does each individual employee have. But just of note is that the predominance of your population candidly doesn't have a whole lot in medical bills in a given year. So it is, I think, at least valid to look at. Behind that is just the standard reporting, but candidly, it's encapsulated in the renewal information, so I don't feel like I need to go through that with you unless you'd like me to. It's just the standard reporting like we see throughout the year whenever I come in. So moving on to urgent matters, deer season starts on November the 14th. So So that is the time where we have to make sure that we have